This teaching comes to you from the team at St. Mark's, Darling Point, Sydney. We hope that it blesses you.
The first reading comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the word of the Lord.
This reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have the mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have the mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God, does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. Let's pray as we seek to understand God and his word. Give us grace, O Lord, not only to hear your word with our ears, but also to receive it in our hearts by your Holy Spirit and to show it forth in our lives for the glory of your great name. Amen. Okay, now there should be an order, like the sermon outline, that everyone can follow along there. And it's got some of the things I'm going to say today. But why are we wearing red today? I'm so glad so many people wore red. It's very impressive. And it's okay, all forgiven if you forgot. I had to borrow Catherine's scarf. So, here it is. Very nice. I wonder if she'll get it back. Why are we wearing red today? Because it's Pentecost. Why is red the colour of Pentecost? Because it symbolises fire. Well, we'll come to talking about fire a little bit, but we remember the day that the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles like tongues of fire. We remember that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that we remembered on Good Friday. Then on Easter Day, we remember that he rose again to bring us new life. And then we remember that he ascended into heaven to reign over all things. But did he leave us alone? No, he promised his disciples that he would send his Spirit to be with us. And so if you believe in Jesus, if he is your Lord, then his Holy Spirit lives in you. That's what we're remembering and telling each other today. If you believe in Jesus, then his Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, we've got three biblical symbols, wonderful biblical symbols that help us to understand. There's fire, there's water, and there's breath. There's fire, there's water, and there's breath. The Holy Spirit is God's powerful presence like fire. The Holy Spirit cleanses us from sin like water. The Holy Spirit gives us eternal life like breath. Okay, let's talk about fire first of all. I don't want to burn the church down, but I thought we'd look at some fire here. There we go. We've got the crackle. Is everyone feeling warmer all of a sudden? Well, there you go. Apparently it does make you look warmer. You feel warmer. Now, what is fire like? Fire is warm and fire gives light. That's a very comforting picture. Some people watch that for 12 hours on their computer screen. The fire is also powerful. You want to be near it, but you want to respect it. Now, last year I went on a trip to the Northern Territory, and they gave you, because we're on a camp, and they gave me this, and they gave me this. Why did they give me this and this? Because there was no toilets. So what did you have to do if you went to the toilet? You had to, especially number twos, you had to go dig a hole. Then you, use this, and then you have to light the paper and bury it, right? So there's no environmental damage with your toilet paper, your dirty toilet paper in the middle of the Australian desert. But I once went off away from the camp. I dug my hole, I did what I had to do, and then I set fire to the toilet paper, but the toilet paper, the hole wasn't deep enough. And I'd kind of gone on the side of a riverbank, a dry river, and the grass caught fire, and if the grass is like this, it went vroomph straight up the hill. And we were miles from anything. And, of course, we didn't have that much water with us. So all my friends had to come over with spades and beat down the fire, and it took them half an hour to beat down the fire. I could imagine everything. I could imagine us all being roasted. It was awful. And the Aboriginal ranger was particularly critical of my behaviour on that day. It was his land. Fire is like that. It's warm, it's good, but you need to respect it. In the Old Testament, Moses spoke with God out of a burning bush. He met God, and the God spoke to him from this burning bush. God led the people out of Egypt with a pillar of fire that they could see. When they worshipped God in the temple, there was always fire there to remind them that God was with them, but that God was powerful and that God was to be respected. And on that famous day in the book of Acts, the Spirit descended on the apostles and looked like tongues of fire on their heads. Why? Because God's power had come on them and enabled them to preach the gospel so that people could come into God's presence, could be related to God, could connect with God. Through them that day, many people came to eternal life. If you believe in Jesus, then God's powerful, fiery presence is in you. God is with you and He's in you, and He can speak through you as you speak about Jesus to other people. It's an extraordinary thing to know. All right, let's put the fire off, if we can. Thanks, Grace. Because we're now going to talk about the second great picture of God's Holy Spirit, and that's water. Now, where do we have water in the church? Okay, let's go down there then. You might need to stand up and turn around, because I'm going to be down here. I've got a special jug of water called a ewer, and we put this into the font. This is the place where we baptize people. There's water. We use water to wash, don't we? Well, water's great for washing. Again, when I was in the Northern Territory, you didn't have a lot of water, so we had to wash your hands. You kind of had sanitizer and a bit of dirt. So basically, you're washing dirt off with more dirt. It doesn't really work as well as water. Water is wonderful for washing. It washes best of all. When we believe in Jesus Christ, He washes us by His Holy Spirit. Paul, the apostle, he said once in Titus, he said, God saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now, the Bible often speaks of the Holy Spirit as like a liquid. God pours out His Holy Spirit. The Spirit fills us, and we are washed in the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the woman at the well about living water that He would give her that would well up to eternal life. And we get baptized in water when we become a Christian to demonstrate what the Spirit does for us. We come to God with our sin. We need a bath. We need a spiritual bath. We need to be made holy. Jesus dies for us, and the Holy Spirit washes us clean. When you turn to Jesus Christ, when you name Him, when you say, Jesus, You are my Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit washes you clean, making you holy with the holiness of God Himself.
and shaping you to be more like Jesus Christ in everything. Okay, that's fire, that's water. The last one, the last symbol today is breath. Now, where do we have breath or wind here in the church? I'm going to go back up here. We've got the fans, don't we? Yeah, yeah, just what everyone needs, a bit of a fan going. God's fire is his powerful presence. God's water, the Holy Spirit, washes us clean with sin. And God's breath is on us too. Well, let's hear about God's breath. In Hebrew, I'm going to teach you a Hebrew word. In Hebrew, the word for breath or wind or spirit is the word ruach. Can you say that? Ruach. Oh, it's a great word. It actually sounds like it. You can't say that word without kind of breathing it out. It can be helpful for us to think of the Holy Spirit, look at the balloons going, as the breath of God or the wind, the divine wind that comes from God. Now, breath is a great symbol of life, isn't it? You can't have life if you don't have breath. If you stop breathing, what happens? You die. This is because those things who are not alive do not breathe. The rise and fall of your lungs is a sign that you are alive. Now, I have a problem with breathing, and it's when I'm asleep, I forget to breathe. So I've got a machine. I brought it in to show you. This is a machine that I use every night. Look at this. It's very sexy. There you go. It's this thing, and it's on now. You can hear it, right? And it keeps me alive during the night because I stop breathing in my sleep. And I wake up feeling like I've had a dream of drowning, my heart beating. But now with this machine, which I've had for some years, I don't. It keeps me alive. Breath keeps us alive with this pumping of wind up my nose. The Holy Spirit is God's breath breathed into us to give us eternal life. God breathed the breath of life into Adam when he made him in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus breathed his breath on the disciples in John chapter 20, the reading we had before. The apostles heard the sound like rushing wind in Acts chapter 2. The breath of God is his eternal life that he breathes on us. If our ordinary breath is our ordinary life, the breath of God in us, his spirit, is our eternal life, our living forever life. By the presence of God's Spirit living in you, you not only have his cleansing from sin and his powerful presence, but you have his eternal and heavenly life, the life that Jesus has now he's risen from the dead. Jesus' death and his resurrection are applied to us by his Spirit in us. So, God's Holy Spirit is his fire, the fire of his powerful presence, the water that cleanses us from sin, the breath that brings us eternal life. So how do I get it? Well, it's actually very simple. The Holy Spirit might be in you right now. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died for your sins and he rose again from the dead. And if you believe that, then his powerful fire is in you to do his work. His cleansing water washes you and makes you more like Jesus. And his life-giving breath gives you eternal life in his kingdom. You are living forever starting now. See what Paul says in that wonderful passage from Romans chapter 8. I've got it on the outline there. If Christ is in you, that even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Even though you're a sinner, if you've got the Holy Spirit, you're washed clean and you have life. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. That's to say, a miracle has taken place. You now have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Now, it may feel like something, but it mightn't feel like very much. Some people, they experience the Holy Spirit. They experience that joy. They're more emotional people. For some people,
It doesn't feel like a lot. Sometimes it's because you just are a different kind of emotional creature. But if you know that Jesus Christ is Lord, then whatever you feel like, His Holy Spirit is the gift that has been given to you. The fire of His powerful presence, the water that cleanses you from sin, and the breath that makes you live forever. Let's pray. Our Lord and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for the wonderful gift of Your Holy Spirit, that You are with us powerfully, that You wash us clean from sin and make us new, and that You give us Your eternal life, that we can have hope and love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at www.stmarksdp.org to subscribe to our new episodes, browse more resources, and find more information about the community of St. Mark's.